I want to just, I'm not going to go long because I want to really help just getting us to a place where the Spirit of the Lord took me yesterday. You know, I wanted to speak to you, and I'm going to do it brief this morning because I'll just give you the keys. Save me the keys. Yesterday, the Lord started to deal with me about the economy of God. Because there's a thought that I've been dealing with for the last couple of days, and it's this thought. If healing is within the kingdom, if protection is within the kingdom, then it must be that there is an economy that the people of God need to tap into that's also within the kingdom, right? Because there's no devil, there's no angel running around in heaven looking to make a loan on behalf of God. In other words, the economy of heaven is for you to be a debt-free people. And as I was thinking about this yesterday, I felt the Lord stir me to this message again and again. And He's like, I want to show you stuff, son. I want to get my people to a place of freedom. Because right now you will hear about everything rising, the diesel prices rising. Everything is rising around you. But that does not mean that you will get to a place where you are defeated. You are in the world, not of the world. And if we are living in this world, we should belong to the economy of God, the kingdom of God. Save me the word kingdom. And I want to show you just something here because it is very important that you catch revelation this morning about this. And I make it simple. God gave Abram a promise. He said, Abram, I want to give you a great nation. In other words, in actual fact, the Bible says, God tells Abram, He says, leave thy country, leave thy people, and come to a land that I will show you. And then He promises him the stars. He promises him everything that he can see. He says, listen, do you see the sky? Do you see the stars? Do you see the sand of the sea? I'm going to make you as great as that. And based on the promise, the Bible says that Abraham leaves his people because God has promised him something. But then the Bible says that God gives him a son, Isaac. And it's interesting that God then comes to Abraham and He says this. He says, give me Isaac, the son whom you love. It's interesting that the Bible calls it that. The Father is very specific. God is very specific. He says, give me Isaac, the son whom you love. Not any son, the son whom you love. And it's amazing in the scripture here because Isaac right now is not the first son and he's not the only son. There is another son. His name is Ishmael. He's also on the scene. But God says, I want Isaac, the one you love. In other words, the one you've placed your heart at. That is the son I want. And the Bible says that Abram needed to understand a couple of things. One of the first things he needed to understand, if he gave God Isaac, then there was no way that he would ever see the stars or the sand of the sea as much as the promise of God if God doesn't do it for him. Are you with me? In other words, God was asking for the promise. Because He wanted to test that where was Abram's heart? Was Abram's heart still with him? Or did Abram's heart move towards his son? Are you there? Come on. You need to stay with me just for a moment here. Because I want you to see something here today. And this is extremely powerful because it will help you very, very much in this day. This year that we have just entered into is the number 5782 in the Hebrew calendar. The word 5782 is very important for us because the number 80 is the number for pay, and that might not make too much sense, but it means the number of the mouth. The number 2 is the number for the Son of God. When you put the two words together, 82 or the number 82, it means God in the mouth of His people, or the word of the Lord in the mouth of His people. Are you there? But more than that, the 5782 is a cycle year. This cycle year that we are in right now is the seventh year or the cycle of the Shemitah. And the Shemitah year was the year that Israel would have pronounced over all of its people debt free. Okay, now listen to this. Listen to God. I like the Lord. He catches people. Exodus chapter number 11, verse number 2. I'm just going to throw you key things out because I'm going to let you respond today. Exodus chapter number 11, verse number 2 says this. Speak now in the ears of the people and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. In other words, what's busy happening, are you guys with me? Are you there? Are you okay? Are you safe? The Israelites go and they go to the Egyptians and they say to the Egyptians, listen, give us your gold, give us your silver. We are borrowing it. We are bringing it back. Right? Then they leave Egypt, and as they are busy leaving Egypt, the Bible says God brings them to a situation called the Red Sea, right? Come on, are you with me? And as they stand in front of the Red Sea, the Bible says the people complain because they say, Moses, you've brought us out to kill us here in the desert. Why are we here? And Moses calls out to God, and God says, don't worry, Moses, lift up your staff. And he lifts up his staff, and God starts to open up the Red Sea. But I want you to see something. Now the Israelites start to go through the Red Sea, but they have the gold and the silver and all the wealth of Egypt is on them. Are you still with me? I want you to see something here. Then the Egyptians want to pursue the Israelites. They want to go after the Israelites through the waters. But listen what God does. Oh, save me, Revelation. Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 24 to 25. And it came to pass that in the morning, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. In other words, God started to fight. And he took off the chariot wheels that they drove with heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them. And when I read this yesterday, the Lord said to me this. It was not just an exodus. It was a debt cancellation. I wasn't just on the scene. I wasn't. Because what do you do if your goal is on the other side of a sea that he just closed? Come on, guys. Are you there? And so I want you to understand what I'm saying here. What do you do if all your wealth is on the other side of the sea? Think about it. It's funny for me. They say, listen, we want your gold. We want your silver. The Egyptians give it. They say, please just leave us because your God have terrified us by all the plagues and all the things that have happened around us. Just go. And so they take it. They leave with a borrowing mentality. But God did not have a borrowing mentality in mind. He wanted them to possess it. Okay? Now stay with me because I want to go a little bit deeper here. Now, Abram, he has a situation upon his hands. And I want you to see this, and this is the heart that I want to get across this morning, is that Abraham has got a promise because God has promised him that he will have sons as much as the stars of the sky, as much as the sand of the sea. But Abraham had a problem. Abraham's heart shifted away from God and towards the promise. And so the Lord asked for the promise. God says, give me your son, your only son whom you love. Are you there? Then Abraham goes with Isaac onto the mountain. Come on, you need to be with me. He goes with Isaac upon the mountain. He's willing to give the promise up to God, understanding that if he does give the promise up to God, he will reach the place of no return. In other words, if the Lord does not come through for him, he's in trouble. He laid down Isaac upon the altar. He binds him upon the rope. This is a picture of God the Father and God the Son. He binds Isaac upon the altar. The Bible says he takes the knife. Again, a picture about the father and the son. He lifts the knife and he's about to kill Isaac. He's about to kill the promise, believing God. And the angel of the Lord calls to Abram. And he says, Abram, Abram, don't touch the boy. Now I know, listen to what he says. Now I know you fear me, and you will not withhold your son, your only son from me. Right? Come on, are you everybody there? I want you to see something here. Then the Lord says, I don't need Isaac, I will provide my own lamb. Then the Bible goes on and it says that Abram looks up, and there in the thicket is a ram, not a lamb, a ram. Because the Lamb of God would come many years later when John the Baptist will point him out and say, there is the Lamb of God which has come to take the sins of the world. Are you guys with me? Everybody okay? I've got a point of everything that I'm busy saying. the end of, you have to understand, in this season that we are right in now, we have gone come through 2 years, right? Come on, are you guys okay? Everybody with me? For 2 years, we have come through a season of COVID, fear, Satan propaganding fear everywhere. You and I being introduced to masks and social distancing, which we have never heard of before in our lifetime. Are you with me? We have been introduced to wars in this season, like, you know, if COVID wasn't enough, then war. And the Bible is rolling out in front of our face. And now we're seeing a dress rehearsal of the enemy upon the planet. We're seeing a whole system of Satan being introduced, and it's starting to roll out all over. And what I mean by that is very simply is that the enemy is busy with a dress rehearsal. He's getting everything ready. But simultaneously, God is moving upon the planet. Now we heard our president say one or two things that sounds not right. Are you with me? Come on, is everybody okay? So we're living in an unprecedented season. But there's one thing that never shifts, and it's the promise of the kingdom. Are you with me? And the point is that as I was looking at this, I said to the Lord, Lord, I need to understand what is your heart in this season. I need to understand where you are going with this, because I need to tell my people what it is that you want from them in this hour. And the Lord said to me very, very clearly, He said this, I want to remind them that there's a promise over their lives and it stands. But it cannot stand if their hearts have shifted away from me towards the promise. Because you have to understand, Abram was climbing on the one side with Isaac, and on the other side, a ram was climbing. And both of them met at a place called obedience. God was rushing one of His creation up on one side of the mountain. Oh, you need to understand that. On the other side, He was pushing His son and His son, another son, also up on the mountain. And it's very interesting for me that, and this is where I want to get us to this morning. Oh, there's so much in me about this, because I got it yesterday when the Lord spoke this. You know, every time, every now and again, God gives you a revelatory word that jumps so much into your spirit that it becomes who you are, right? You understand what I'm saying? And so Abraham takes Isaac and he offers up Isaac, and Isaac lays on the altar and he wants to plunge a knife into Isaac. And just before he does that, the angel of the Lord stops him. He says, wait, I don't need your son. I'll provide my own. I'll provide my own lamb. And here's what I want you to get. Listen to what Abraham says. Listen to Abraham. Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 14. I'm giving you guys like snippets. Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 14. Holy Spirit, help. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said unto this day, it is the mount of the Lord. But wait, wait, wait. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord, my provider. So we cannot claim that God is our provider if our hearts is not with the Lord. Because there's a sequence here. The sequence is, Abram, I want your son, your only son. Yes, Lord. Give him to me. God pushes him. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. He pushes him into a place of impossibility, where God alone becomes the option. It sounds like the world right now, by the way. Then Abram sees he cannot escape the plan of God except by trusting God fully. Then from that place, God moves him to a place where he's willing to offer up the promise, because he loves the Lord more than the promise. And the Lord says to him, now I know you fear me. Then from the fear of the Lord takes him and says, now I will become your provider. And I will give to you And if you study your Bible, you'll find something from that time. Abraham prospered much more than what he ever did before. Why? Because God had his heart. God had Abraham. And Abraham, from that place, became the father of the faith. Where was the father of the faith born? It was born at the place that he was willing to give up his son. Faith produces the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord produces the provision of the Lord. Seed to the sower, bread to the eater. The birds in the sky, you will never hear a bird fly and say, "Dear God, is my wings going to work? Is this working?" No, it's a bird. It's supposed to fly. Come in power. The bird is not concerned about flying because the bird is serving its purpose within the kingdom. You'll never hear let's take Solomon just for an example. Are you guys okay? Solomon, God comes to Solomon. How's this for God? God says, "Solomon, I give you a blank check. Ask me whatever you wish. Whatever you wish, I'll give it to you." Now, if I know some of you, you will say, "God, I need the G-Wagons, G63 Brabus. Thank you very much." Some of you should have said amen there. God gives him a blank check. He says, "Solomon, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Whatever you want." At that stage, he could have asked for gold, silver, provision. He could have asked for anything. He asked for none of it. He asked for this. He says, "Give me wisdom. Give me understanding." But listen to why he says it. He says, "Because you have given me a great people. And the father's heart is triggered towards Solomon." He says, "You're asking me for something that will help my people." And the Lord says, "Because you have my people, my kingdom, as your first interest, I will give you not only understanding and wisdom, I will give you wealth, I will give you riches, I will give you more money than what you can handle." Why? His heart was with the kingdom. Jesus Christ, New Testament says, "Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." In this season, we better know what we are standing for. We better know what we are believing for. Because we cannot just say he's our healer. We cannot just say he's our deliverer. We cannot just say he's our protection. No, he's my provider as well. Why? I am a kingdom child, man. Are you with me? And so everything that they are saying is true. The economy is shaking. Diesel is crazy. That's why in the apocalypse, the people are coming back of horses. Nobody will afford diesel, man. It's true. Are you with me? Petrol's going up. But the last time I checked, I'm in a kingdom. How's this for Jesus? They come to Jesus and say, "Do you pay SARS?" Jesus says, "Of course I pay SARS. Of course I pay taxes." Come on, some of you shouldn't now duck and dive. He says, "Of course I do. Give to Caesar that belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God." Then I like Jesus. He says, listen to me. He says, "Go and fish. Go and fish." The word fish there is a typology of a person. He says, "Go and fish. I'll show you. I'll use nature to do that what I've come to do." He says, "Now take the 2 drachma coin. And then I like Jesus. He says this, "Go pay your tax and mine." How's that for kingdom? I'll pay yours and mine. We'll pay both. Church, The Lord sent me here today as your leader to tell you this. You don't belong to the world. If you do, then you are going to be shaken heavily. But if you move your heart towards the kingdom, and the Spirit of the Lord is here to testify to you what I'm saying is true. God wants your heart. He wants His altar back. Let me say it again. He wants His altar back. He wants His altar back. Joel 2:20 says this. It says, of all of these things that are happening around us, there is something that happens after Joel 2:20. Everything that's happening in the world now is Joel 2:20, Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 39, Daniel chapter number 11, Psalm 83, Matthew 24, 2 Timothy 3, Revelations 21. We're heading there. Jesus says, if you see all of these signs, know this, that this generation will not perish until they've seen all of it. What does that mean? It means this, the generation, we, that will see the signs. We will not taste death until we hear a trumpet. This generation is 40 years. Are you there? So the urgency of the hour is this. He is coming. But He chose us to be alive and remain in this hour. But He wants His altars back. Look how full is this place. Do we look scared? No. Do we look fearful? No. I've not received the spirit of fear, but of might, power, and a sound mind. This is God's temple. We need to have an attitude. Are you with me? Seed to the sower, bread to the eater. And then the Lord said to me this. When the world has its challenges, the people of God has their opportunities. When the world has its challenges, the people of God has their challenges. Do you know where Abram's wealth came from? It came from the wells. It came from the bottom up. He became so wealthy that they needed to chase him away. He became a threat because he had monetary value. And yesterday as I was, because as a church, the Lord is, we blessed. But yesterday I was prevailing before the Lord for you. That's why I can come and we can just cast out devils and things. Why? Kingdom of God. I am convinced I'm a kingdom citizen. I'm not a member. Ek wys nie 'n kaartjie by die gym every 3 months nie. No, I'm a citizen. That means if there's anything that's not like the kingdom, it needs to go. Are you with me? Listen to me. You can feel the Spirit of the Lord, right? The Spirit of the Lord's here to tell you, you need to put the kingdom first again. The kingdom must be number one. And then the Bible says, and I'll put this, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, and His righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Right standing before the Father. Based on who? Based on Jesus. So that means it's not Christianity that we're busy with. It's a person that we're busy with. Jesus is so in love with you. The Father is keeping the secret away from Jesus when He will come back. Because if God would have told Him, He would have told you. He's so eager to have you with Him. Now you don't understand how eager Jesus is about you. He hung on that cross with the joy that was set before him. And he stayed there, naked, beaten, bloody, but he hanged for you, for me. Why? So that death doesn't have a sting, so that the grave does not have victory, so that sickness will never be permanent. Come on. As I prayed for that young boy this morning, as I prayed for that girl of the leg, you know what I was busy doing? I was asking the Father for new parts. I said, Lord, you've created the leg, so give me a new bone. Because if he made us all, he's got spare parts. Come on, are you with me? Why? As he is, so are we in this world. So when you see me doing silly stuff, it's not because I'm silly. The Bible says, as it is in heaven, let it be so on earth. You've never found people sick in heaven. So when I pray like that, it's because I go to get what I know is his, and then we bring it here. Oh. No, there needs to be more of us that are convinced that he's a healer, that he's a redeemer, that he's a savior, that he's a rescuer. Come on. Give me your son, your only son. Can you imagine how ridiculous the request? But it's not ridiculous if the plan is to give him everything. Jesus hangs. Oh, the amazing love of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so whosoever would choose him. Whosoever. Bible doesn't even say everybody, it says whosoever. That means some people will never choose Jesus. Come on, guys, are you with me? But God is wanting his altar back. It's what he wants. That's why I allow freedom in worship. Because I'm training you for eternity. You didn't catch that. That's why we worship for 80 minutes. We're training for eternity. We want to get people saved and in the kingdom. Come on, do you believe that? So God wants his altars back, and I'm everybody that's online, come on, there's hundreds of people online on all these things. You know, if the Lord increases you, it's not for your sake. It's for the people's sake. Yes. Church, our hearts have to shift. Because otherwise, can I speak as a father? Otherwise, you'll look at the news and that thing will become your thermometer. No. No. I refuse. I'm like, maybe my dad should have beaten me more when I was younger. But if you use those words, you cannot and you will not and you shall not, then I'm like, no. No. If I look at, and what I mean by that, if I look at the news and they say to me, be afraid, I'm like, hey, wait a minute, News 24, wait a minute, before you tell me a virus is stronger, let's just talk about this. There's one that hang and he wrote a book, which is living. There's one that died and there was no sickness that he didn't heal. So you write stuff, he also writes stuff. So I'm not going to let you determine who I am. I'm going to let this determine who I am. Come on, guys, are you with me? We are not afraid. We are not timid. We are conquerors. Come on, are you with me? That's why in this church you'll be free, we'll be free. I will not limit you. I will not put things upon you. I will keep you free. Why? You are living in a kingdom that's free. Come on. I'll let us worship him. I'll let us praise him. In this church, you'll come. You'll get your healing. In this church, you'll come. You'll get your deliverance. You'll come here. Are you there? We are a lighthouse to this area. Come on. God has got so much more plans. You'll see in the next week or so. What the Lord is planning for us as a nation, as a church, into the nation. But this morning I want to make sure that your hearts is in the kingdom. Aren't you glad you are in a church where you can sense the tangible presence of the Lord? Come on, the presence of God means the approval of God. You know that? He loves you. He's with you. And so Abraham needed to make the decision. And I want to call you to make the decision today. And I want to say to you today, we have a choice to make who we are going to honor in this hour. Because we can be afraid and we can hold on to stuff. And that will fail you in any way. Or we can say, no, Lord, we trust you with all of our hearts. We lean not onto our own understanding. We acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you shall direct our path, right? Let me say one or two more things. Trust is the highest commodity in the kingdom. Because God says, trust me. Trust me. In other words, trust me. And so this morning, I want you to trust the Lord. We are going to go through this year trusting the Lord. Are you there? I'll lead you right through this year as I'll lead Durban, as I'll lead Cape Town, as I'll lead Secunda and all the places that the Lord is giving to us. Listen, by the way, we need to build a church in Durban. Yeah, and I'm going to come with that to you. Because as the Lord increases us here in Pretoria, we need to build a church there. And so I'm going to show you in a week from now what we're going to do. But we have to, because the Lord is increasing us. Look at the people here in this place this morning. Come on. One can make 1,000 flee. Two can make 10,000 flee. I won't tell you how many we are. We are a lot. Amen. Yes. So our hearts need to shift. Our hearts need to shift. And what I wanted to do this morning, I wanted to first call out citizens into the kingdom. And then I'm going to ask you as a church, as people, we're going to build the altars again today. We're going to get the altar right. Are you with me? So, Father, I want to pray right now in this place, Lord, that if there's any person that does not belong to your kingdom, that is not in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Father, right now, worship team, you can come. That, Father, right now, in this place, Lord, that salvation will be evident. Online, that salvation will be evident. Father, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus the Christ. Father, I want to speak. If you're online of us this morning and you don't know Jesus, then it's as simple as this, and I'm going to pray a prayer. If you are in this building and if you don't know Jesus, pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. I recognize Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior, as my King. Father, take my name and write my name in your book of life. Father, in this day, I acknowledge Jesus as the Savior, as the Redeemer, as the Healer. Father, save me in this day, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you save me, that you write my name permanently in the book of life. Come, guys. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If that was you, if that's you, I want you 20 seconds of bravery. I want you just to jump out of your seat and just come here to the front for me. Quickly. If you prayed that prayer and you're in the house, quickly, quickly come. Is everybody, is this whole place saved? Touch the person next to you. Look in their eyes. Say, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus? And look at your other neighbors. Say, you cannot lie. Do you know Jesus? Okay. Everybody still saved? Okay, praise the Lord.